If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Mayor Dave Beter joins us in the Next Idaho studio this morning for his monthly visit. Happy holidays. How are you doing?
Likewise. I'm doing well. It's a winter wonderland out there.
You guys had it's a winter wonderland out there. Uh-huh.
Nice tree lighting.
Very nice. We had the first one in the new grove and got some background music.
Mm-hmm.
had a great crowd and it's, you know, it was cozier. The grove all built up. It just felt like you were.
I want to tell you how much I love that space down there. That is so cool.
It's turned out great.
So just cool.
We had a refugee family just a couple months here helped us light the trees. Kids were really fired up. It was not something they'd seen before, I don't think. So
pretty good crowd.
Off to a good start. It was great. And I think there could be some other. There's presence. You can grab a name off the tree and around the tree and
The giving tree.
Do something nice for someone. We always do that, so I think there might be a few left.
I think there are. We were down there for the opening, and one of my daughter's friend, my daughter was in town for Thanksgiving. One of my daughter's friends was there and participated in it, and we met her at a restaurant downtown after the lighting. Took her a long time to get through the people to get there.
Yeah, it was rocking. I mean, it was just a great night and a great atmosphere. And the new grove is just wonderful.
I think it is. It's splendid. And if you haven't been down there to look at it, do that because it's incredible.
Yeah, everything turned out. All the throughways are nice. All those passageways look really good. Just everything about it's gone well. So we're really excited.
Looks like we're in for 10, 12 days of bad weather. What kind of contingency plans does the city... I don't know what the heck's going on. Same number keeps calling.
Every time we ask a question, there's some...
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. My phone
kind
goes
off. Dramatic entrance.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of contingency plans do you have for this bad weather, and how expensive is it for the city?
You know, this is one of those times, there aren't very many, where having a highway district in control of your roads is kind of nice. They're the ones that bear the brunt of this. People still call my office thinking that we do have control over that. We have to send them to the highway district, which you're not too pleased about.
Yeah. But
it's really the ACHD that handles that. I think they've... gotten better at it. I think they've gotten more aware of it.
Well, they sure headed this one off.
I think they did a good job.
Yeah, they did.
Give credit where it's due, and they've done well with it. And, I imagine there's going to be some melting going on today. I don't know if it's getting a little warmer, but it's
supposed to.
It's gone pretty well.
There's a survey coming up about Boise and various services and things like that. And now I guess you're going to send out postcards for the survey. How's that going to work?
We are. We got 7,000 random postcards going out to addresses. And you can either take a phone survey or do one online. We're just trying to make sure the way we serve our citizens is as easy and as well as we can do. So when you get it, just like I said, either get online or grab the phone. Because we want to know, what services you're using, how it's going, whether you're booking a park site or a park program, paying a ticket, paying some for other services, dealing with the Planning and Development Services Department, virtually anything we want to know about it, and how do we get better at that.
So it's kind of an evaluation.
It is.
But are you going to be asking people, is there anything that you don't see that you would like to see?
That'll probably be in there as well. But we just want to make sure with a higher certainty that we're, serving our citizens as well as we can. So when you get it, help us out.
Yeah.
It will help, and we'd appreciate it. It won't take too long, but it is real important. We want to see how we can do better. It's just, people are happy with their services by and large. We survey every couple of years and know that, but we want to make sure that the service is what it ought to be. So help us out, and we'll get better.
Yeah, interaction with citizenry is really important.
All those interactions add up. Whether it's obviously the police and some of those can be tough, but we want them to be as good as we can make it. And there are thousands of those going on, every year. And the better we do, the better competence they have in the city, and that helps us in all these ways. So
we're talking with Boise Mayor Dave Beter. All right, we are back. Mayor Dave Beter joins us this morning. I kind of slammed the door on the Somerset Ridge thing on Tuesday night by a 4-2 vote. It was turned down earlier by planning and zoning, and this does what, effectively?
Well, it was really only 12 lots, so... either way, it's not the biggest thing. The problem was it's got a long history, a lot of deals made to limit the number over time, and this would have been revisiting, a fair amount of those deals. And it was close. I thought I might break a tie, but they just didn't convince the council. There are several lots, 30-some, I think, still to be built there that are approved. So those central foothills are tough.
Yeah,
coming down into the old road system in the north end is not a whole lot you can do about that to change it. So council just wasn't convinced, and we'll move forward. But there are a number of lots still available right around there. It's a nice part of town. New park that we put in close by, so it's I think they'll be fine.
We have good news and bad news about the F-35s possibly coming to Gowan Field, and it's the same news. It just depends on how you look at it.
Well, exactly. We think it's quite good news. We're down to five bases. They'll pick two of those to put F-35, so the odds are pretty good. The placement of the F-35s is likely almost 10 years away into the most likely the mid 2020s. So the key will be first if we get it, but the second thing that could really just help in all ways is building the third runway. It's in our airport plan, and now that we're it's more serious that we could be the winners of this thing. We will try to map out a plan of when we can do that, because the sooner that gets in, it cuts the effect of it down to almost nothing. So there's, there's a lot of possibilities here, but now it's gotten more serious. So we'll, map that out and try to scope it at when we can do that, help everybody out. So.
Now, we've had some questions about, what kind of noise will there be? And also, people want to know if the public is going to have any kind of input, and can they hear the jets first? Is that a possibility?
I'm not so sure that we can do that, but there's about a six-month process here, and the public can interact with that with the Air Force. So that'll be the key to that. It's their process, and we'll see how it goes. There will be ways to interact with that. The interesting thing is the F-4 was at Gowan Field till the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same noise contours as the F-15 or the F-35. Now, I'm not going to say people remember that.
I do.
But that's where that's where we were. The thing is, the A-10 is one of the quietest aircraft around. I haven't had a chance to hear them. And, it's just surprising how loud. So it's kind of, went the other way that people got used to it. Again, I think it's we can figure this out over time and make the impact, negligible. And I think that's the key to this.
Economically, what does it mean for the city of Boise?
It's phenomenal. It's over $60 million of economic activity from Gowan Field as a whole. The F-35 will be a 50-year aircraft along those lines. So keeping Gowan and even adding to it in this way is, imagine a company with that kind of economic effect, in addition to what, you know, what it does for the safety of the country. So I think, you know, we're a strong candidate. Again, if we were to win, it's several years out. We have some time to prepare for that. And I think, you know, we'll have a more definitive answer in the next several months. But, you know, that would be the key is to make, you know, how do we get that third runway in where, you know, and the noise goes down to almost nothing to anyone affected around the airport.
It's been a year since the tent city was taken down at Cooper Court. And the project Housing First has got some good news.
Exactly. You know, that's as tough a decision as I think I've made at the time I've been mayor. But, it, you know, the police handled it so well. We had no arrests, no forcible removals, placed several of those folks in better situations. But the even better news is for the first time in the state of Idaho, the state, the county, St. Al, St. Luke's, City of Boise have all collaborated for, we're hoping for 40 Housing First permanent supportive housing units for the chronically homeless. We know that works. It's been tested other places. Thanks to all that collaborative effort, those funds have been approved by the state, and the project will break ground, you know, in the next few months. And that's people's the upside of that tough situation is it focused the community's attention on that. And, you know, this deal's going to get done. Interfaith Sanctuary is up their game as far as the services they provide these folks. And there's just some other things cooking that are really helpful. So that was our hope that, you know, in the interim that we could drive some positive solutions and keep that momentum up and avoid that kind of situation going forward.
Excellent.
All right.
We're about out of time, so staying in town for Christmas, are you?
I am. Hope to go to the Potato Bowl, watch the Cactus Bowl and some other bowls.
Watch a Spud Drop on New Year's Eve.
Watch Spud Drop. Hope to get up to ski. I got a ski pass this year for the first time in a long time. So Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy holidays, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you. Mayor Dave Beter, KBOI News Time, 8:56. Open phones Friday on Idaho Talks Live. Coming up next, KBOI News Time, 9:06. Thanks to Governor.
Mayor.
Governor.
Yeah.
I keep promoting people. Thanks to the High Priest. No, thanks to Mayor Dave Beter for being here.
Thanks to Pope David for being here this morning.
Being here this afternoon.
Yeah.
Or morning. I just promoted morning
to
afternoon.
Is that really a promotion, though?
No.
I kind of like morning better.
I do like mornings. I'm a morning guy. You had this story a little bit earlier this morning about the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's defined as earning more money than your parents, today's young adults are just as likely to have a nightmare as they are to achieve their dream. In fact, making more money than your parents, that used to kind of be the
status symbol?
Yeah.
Or the symbol that you've made it?
Yeah, exactly. That you've made it, that, you know, now I've achieved something, I'm making more money than my
parents.
Well,
and then when inflation started to skyrocket, it was always happening, but it kind of started happening in the 70s.
Adjust me for inflation.
Yeah, exactly.
But I make more money than my parents ever did. My wife makes more money than her parents ever did, and we're 20 years apart. Mm-hmm. She's actually in your generation, so to speak. Do you make more money than your parents?
In a year, yeah. I think together.
Well, your parents
together,
both worked at the same.
They both were school teachers, and so they have really good retirement. And so together in retirement, they do better than I do.
But isn't that funny?
But, you know, I mean, my dad told me his first teaching contract, I think it was for like a couple of $1,000s a year or something like that. And at that time, that wasn't bad. You know, and I mean, like yourself, he was dreaming about one day making $10,000 a year.
That was my dream.
Yeah.
When I graduated from college, if I could just make $10,000 a year, and I was making it, you know, and my daughter is like making five times that much, and she's been working 8 months. I mean,
well,
come on.
Things are different.
Yeah, things are different now, and there's no doubt about it. Only 50% of the people born in the 80s are. Is that you? No, you're
in the 60s. I was born in the 60s, yeah.
Right,
okay, Todd was born in the 80s.
Yeah, only 50% of the people born in the 80s are making more than their parents. Todd?
They got me beat right now.
Okay, But you're
well on your
you
way.
You haven't really hit your stride yet. As far as you're still in school, you're doing a lot of stuff. That's correct. Yeah, exactly. 90% of the children born in 1940 make more than their parents, or made more than their parents.
90%?
90%. Uh-huh. I would be kind of in that. Mm-hmm. The study concludes that income inequality is the primary reason why many young people are left behind. And we've heard this slow economic growth. This has been one of the things that Donald Trump's been harping on. Our economy is sluggish. There's no growth. We're not building anything right now. Well, salaries in the same place.
The people who are successful monetarily are much more successful than people used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be considered upper middle class, you have to be way up there. And I think the upper middle class and the upper class has dwindled a bit, although they have more money than they ever have before. And poor people are about the same. Poor people just pretty much don't have anything. But the middle class has been fluctuating the last 20 years or so.
Yeah, it's kind of shrinking now. It's on the slower rates of economic growth are a secondary factor. The number one is income equality. Inequality is really why people are struggling, younger people, so much. These results imply that reviving the American dream of high rates of absolute mobility would require economic growth that is spread more broadly across the income distribution. And that basically is what everybody running for president was preaching. Yeah. We have to do, especially Trump.
Do you think that children are not being taught competition or competitiveness anymore?
I think it's kind of beaten out of them.
I think they're even being taught, badly put. But they're even being taught as a philosophy.
Yeah.
That being competitive is the wrong thing to do.
It doesn't matter. Here's your participant trophy.
Yeah, exactly. You should be compassionate. You should be sharing. You should get a participation certificate or trophy. And winning is not the most important thing. However, you get out into what we used to refer to as the real world, and suddenly you realize that, yes, there are nice things out there, but you do have to compete with other people to get them.
When I was a kid...
Jobs, money, stuff, whatever.
When I was a kid, we always competed and tried to be, a bunch of us anyway, the smartest kid in the class.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to be in grade school, always wanted to be the smartest kid in the class. Whether you made it or not, you were never sure.
You know, and when I was in grade school, at the end of the year, they used to give us prizes for having the most hundreds on tests and things like that. I don't think they do that stuff anymore.
No, in fact, you know, some people say now it's more geared to the slowest person in the class that you have to wait for him or her.
And again.
And not so they won't feel bad by being left behind.
But having been on teams and, you know, in jobs and things like that, you do know that it's true that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link.
True.
And the fact of the matter is, for the most part, the slower kids do set the pace for a class.
Yeah.
But they won't let them separate them anymore. Remember, we used to separate into reading groups.
Yeah.
You know, like they'd say, okay, and you knew all the kids in your group were going to get an A or a B, and all the kids in the medium group were going to get a C, and all the kids in the third group, we were just kind of hoping they'd learn to read.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
They looked at pictures.
But it was very... It was very cut and dry, and now they won't even separate you into these groups anymore because, you know, somebody might feel bad about the fact that they're not in the highest group.
Yeah, so they had the GATE program when Natalie was in school. That's the last time I've been involved in gifted and talented education. Yeah.
Right.
So the GATE people, starting at about the fifth grade maybe, would be taken out, and they would have 2 or 3 hours of accelerated learning, and that, you know, that was good, and you know, the kids in the GATE program had a leg up on the kids that didn't make it.
But it kind of makes sense in that okay, if you have already learned all the stuff that we're going to be teaching today, then perhaps you and some of these other kids can go out for a couple of hours and learn something in addition to what you've been learning.
Yeah.
Or you can sit here and stare out the window and wait for everyone else to finish.
Or
you know, I'm thinking, why not go at the rate you can handle?
Yeah. And the other school of thought there is that the kids in the GATE program, whatever, should help the other kids to bring them up. But that...
Well, that's harder to do.
Well, it's harder to
do. Especially for grade school kids.
Yeah, and it's not fair because they're not teachers.
No.
I mean, they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't help it. It's a quandary. KBOI News Time is 9:15. We're going to talk about what it's going to take to have your kids make more money than you when we come back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Let's go to the phone and Luther and Chalice. Luther, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, I accidentally hung up. I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's one way you can look at what's going on with your economy. You have to just go over to the coast and wonder, why are they making 10 times as much potential productive incomes than we are here in Idaho?
Because it costs 10 times as much to live there.
No, it's a different governmental model. Okay, that's the problem with them damn liberals. Now,
it does cost 10 times as much to live there. Try to buy a house in California. People can sell their houses in California and come here and retire, where people in Idaho sell their house and they still owe 9 times as much as their house was worth.
I know. And you look around and, like, an apartment, a scuzzy apartment in Seattle is $1,000 a month. Now,
Palo Alto, California, it's $4,000 a month.
Holy cow.
Well, that's why I don't live there.
Bingo. Bingo.
But we have some bad omens.
Okay.
Okay, on election day, there were no sunspots. Yesterday, there were no sunspots.
No sunspots.
All the way around the... No sunspots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
and
when
that's
you see
bad?
Something like that. Yeah, that's bad. That's look up Younger Dryas on your computer.
All right.
And you'll see what I mean by bad. And also, what did we see? And somebody else told me about it too. It was seen by more than me. Bark beetles flying in mid November.
It's because it was warm.
Yes.
My tomatoes lived until the 17th of November. That never happens.
Oh, mine are still alive. I brought them in the greenhouse.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I brought them in the house, and I've got a tomato to pick this afternoon. Anyway, the thing is, okay, you want an economy, start making electricity. You got all that Snake River Plain. Put some more windmills out there. Use the windmills to pump water back into the dam after you make electricity with it. You know, use solar panels. Right now you got commercials on your radio station about coal once in a while. Why is coal worried? Because solar, geothermal, and wind have overtaken the use of coal for making electricity. Hallelujah. Ooh.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Look it up.
Okay. I will look it up.
Broncos.
All right. Thanks, Luther.
Got an instant message here from Rude Prude of Boise, who says, gentlemen, to compare walnuts to walnuts, consider this true fact. $10,000 in 1964 had the purchasing power of $76,545 today.
I don't feel so bad now.
This is due to the 3.99% annual inflation rate over those years. Thank you for your dedication to walnuts. Well, okay.
No, when I came to Boise, I came to Boise for $800 a month, $8,400 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right. It was more than that. So $10,000 a year.
Okay.
$800 a month. And I lived in an apartment I paid $65 a month for.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a new car for $2,200.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a convertible, and it was new. It's all different nowadays. So it's apples and oranges.
This will sound funny. About 1974, I remember I was homesick from school. and I watched Price is Right for a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't see it for another 15 years, and I turned it on, and I thought, oh, my God, because the price of everything had gone up just immensely.
Yeah.
Wilbur of Boise County says, how to ensure that children earn more than their parents? Believe me, someone in Washington, D.C. will come up with the idea to devalue the dollar.
Yeah.
As, you know, and Britain's done that. They devalued the pound a long time ago.
Yeah. The study notes, we'll get to phone calls after we take a break at the bottom of the hour. The study notes largest declines are concentrated in the industrial Midwest states such as Michigan and Illinois. I thought Illinois was an agricultural state where high-paying manufacturing jobs have declined considerably.
Well, outside Chicago, it mostly is.
Yeah. KBOY rewards code, by the way, salary, S-A-L-A-R-Y, salary.
Mm-hmm.
Go to 670KBOY.com, enter salary. By contrast, of the 50 states, South Dakota and North Dakota are holding up better than the rest. South Dakotans and North Dakotans born in 1980 are 62.3% and 59.4% as likely to make more money than their parents. That's because of the boom up there in oil.
And natural gas.
And natural gas, yeah. Overall, young men's prospects are worsening at a quickening rate than young women's. Sons born in 1984 are only 41% likely to earn more than their fathers, compared to 95% of the sons born in 1940s. And the daughters, only 26% more likely to earn more than their fathers, down from 43% born in 1940. All right, KBOI News Time, 9:26. We'll be back with your phone calls.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:36. A lot of phone calls. Let's start off with Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Morning. Well, I was listening to you guys. You read that story, and then you started on something about education and competitiveness and all this nonsense. First time I heard that was 1970. Kids aren't less competitive. That's not what's causing these problems if you read further into that story. I mean, the things that have changed, we've changed this tax structure since then, and that's made a big difference. And then we don't have unions and wage protections, and we don't have manufacturing. That's why people aren't making as much as their parents, as they don't have the job opportunities to do it anymore.
Yeah, I do believe we mentioned the lack of manufacturing.
And the whole tax structure, I mean, that's favored people at the top and put more of a burden at the people in the middle. And that, you know, that's why it's erasing our middle class. I guess that's just how things are going to be. I don't know how it's handled in other countries, but manufacturing's not going to come back to the United States. That carrier deal was a joke, and we just got to accept that. If we want to get wages up, we could.
Has the union had their press conference today yet? It was going to challenge the head of the union was going to challenge Trump's numbers.
He's been saying for a couple of days that was nonsense. The deal on that is Carrier said they were going to save $65 million by moving to Mexico. So they come up with this plan to give them $7 million. They're still $58 million short. The jobs that are going to stay in the United States, they're still going to need research and development. They're still going to need warehouses and transportation. But I guarantee you this thing was a big joke.
It's going to be like 600 jobs instead of 1,100 that are staying.
Yeah, and 350 of them were never going to leave. They were the research and development staff, and the rest of them are secretarial and manufacturing. Carrier's not going to manufacture furnaces in the United States. I'll guarantee you that in 2 years, they'll all be gone. This was just a big photo op for Trump. But 1,100 jobs doesn't really amount to much anyway. We have to create like 150,000 a month just to break even.
Yeah.
But this thing isn't going to bring back management. You can't compete. The people in in Indianapolis or wherever, in Indiana, they can't work for $3 an hour. And they can't work for $10 an hour and make a living and do anything. And they can build those furnaces for $3 an hour in Mexico. We just can't compete. If we want to compete, we've got to get into high-skilled manufacturing. That's what Germany does. 30% of their economy is.
Got to move on. Thanks for your call. I believe Trump's thing is that he would charge tariffs, right, on stuff coming from Mexico to the United States to drive the prices.
Coming from any other country.
Any other country, not just Mexico. Let's go to Rick of Boise. Rick, good morning.
Hi. I was hearing you guys talk about the competitive nature of youth today. But, Paul J., you can probably remember when you and I were in grade school, there were no competitive sports until after the fourth grade. And that was just for boys. Even to the time that I graduated high school in 67, the only sports girls could participate in was tennis. Now you have kids starting preschool competing in soccer, baseball, football, all those things. And so many of those kids would never have participated or competed when we were young. They, you know, the baseball team, basically the ones that started after the fourth grade were the one that played all the way through the ninth grade, and other kids didn't. So I think so many more of our kids are competitive now. And then you look at the higher end, how many athletes are cheating to be able to compete and win? I think our competitive nature is there probably more than it used to be, but there are so many that lack some of the natural abilities, skills to achieve success.
Do you remember the GAA? Do you know what I'm talking about? The GAA, like you said, girls didn't have competitive sports. Like Twin Falls didn't play Jerome in girls anything.
Right.
The GAA was called the Girls Athletic Association, and they wore, in Twin Falls High, they wore these little blue jumpers. And I'm not kidding. It was like intramural, basically, and played volleyball and stuff like that against each other.
They didn't have that in Boise.
Yeah.
But I really do think that more kids are participating. And
competing. You're right. You're absolutely, especially on the female side.
It is, sure. And my grandson, he just turned 14. Last year, he played in AAU basketball. He plays baseball, football, basketball, track, and he's very successful in all those. Last year, there was a girl on his basketball team that was a better shot than most of the boys. And so, girls have improved so much. But also, the baseball, football, well, I don't know football so much, but they are playing so much better than we did when we were young.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think
no
the
doubt
competitive
about that.
Nature is still there.
Yeah, okay. We were kind of talking about education, but you're right. If the competitive nature is there, it's there.
Yeah. Well, and in grades, I went to his sixth grade honors program. There, almost a third of those kids had A or A minus grade point averages.
Yeah.
So they're getting the grades. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Well, I have no doubt they're getting the grades, but are they having to do the same amount of work to get them?
Yeah, and my my daughter and probably your daughter, and I mean, they earn college credits now when they're in high school.
That's true, yeah.
And, they have knock off a semester, some a year before they go to college even more. All right, let's take one more phone call before a break here. Let's go to Ted. Ted of Boise. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Listen, I'll be real quick. So many things to say. It's open, open Friday.
Sure.
Real quick, on the mayor, when you had the mayor on, I'm a big fan of the Ada County Highway District. And, I noticed when you asked him, about who takes care of the streets, he finally admits that, the Highway District does that thing. And they do a great job. I mean, these streets are fantastic, and I'd rather have the Highway District as a buffer to this city and having the city do whatever they want. Who knows? I mean, the mayor cannot guarantee the city would do a better job. That said, another question I'd like to ask the good mayor is, why don't we have city council members elected by zone? This city is growing so fast and so wide, it's time that we have zone elections instead of having council members up for election where everybody in the heavily liberalized portions of Boise can vote for them.
Let me ask you a question. If you had city council members elected by zones, what are there, five council members now?
They do have to live in different zones.
Yeah, they do have to live in different zones. But how many council members would you have? Do you think that would increase the number?
I don't know, Paul. Maybe it would.
Yeah, I don't know either.
If we get a city that's growing so much, what's wrong with having representation in the various parts of the city? I mean, the city council declined 12 building lots in their, you know, nice area over there.
Somerset Ridge, yeah.
But they just approved 2,000 in Southwest Boise. And we protested because of the traffic on Cole Road and everything else. And some city council member goes, "Oh, it won't affect it that much." And we felt like jumping up and strangling her. That's just a phrase. It's not.
So the Somerset Ridge thing had already been voted down by the Ada County Planning and Zoning Commission. Did they vote on the one south of town?
I'm sorry?
Did the Ada County Planning and Zoning Commission, did they approve the one south of town?
Yes, they did. No, the Ada Planning and Zoning Commission originally turned it down, and the city council told them to go back and tweak it, and so they finally approved it. I mean, it's horrendous what's going to go on over there. But anyway, these are some of the things that the mayor seems to jump over every once in a while. And yes, I'm not a fan of our Empress mayor. By the way, you should ask him if he's does he personally think he's indispensable. What is this, going on his 12th year as mayor? Give somebody else a chance. Okay, thanks a lot.
To be fair, I don't think he was saying that the Ada County Highway District was doing a bad job.
No, he didn't say it at all.
He was pointing out was that when people want to know why their street hasn't been plowed, they tend to call the mayor's office, and they shouldn't call the mayor's office because the mayor's office doesn't have anything to do with it.
And basically the question was regarding expenses. You know, how expensive is it when we have these big storms? All right, KBOI News Time, 9:47.
Back down to Paul, Jay, and Chris.
All right, we are back on an open phones Friday. Let's go to Brad in Boise County. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
I was just coming down to town, and of course, we don't have cell phone service above the dam. And I heard Rich on there, and I just wanted to send Rich a message. Merry Christmas, Rich. Try to get a more positive attitude, buddy, because it's going to get better. We never thought we'd be in space, and we just had John Glenn pass away after he was in space. So come on, Rich, cheer up.
Thanks, Brad. Happy Christmas.
You bet.
H.G. McCall says, my dad was a coach. He stressed sportsmanship. You need not only to be a good loser, but also a good winner. As you know, there are many bad, gloating, over-arrogant winners in the professional sports arena.
Yep.
If kids were taught about sportsmanship and growth from winning, losing, or drawing, they would not have to get participation trophies. They would learn how to live life, win, lose, or draw.
Good stuff. I like it. Let's go to William in Garden City. William, good morning.
Good morning, Paul, Jay, and Chris. You know, we've been having a lot of good topics this week, but one of the things that we were talking about is the economy and getting job growth and industry back, the coal and steel industry. Well, when they signed off on that NAFTA, you know, it was foretold that a lot of jobs are going to go out of the country, and then we got the EPA adding regulations onto them, and that's causing, you know, hardship on the industry. So they've been put down to the point where it's hard for those industries to make a profit anymore.
Yeah, that's true. And then, you know, who knows where you should step in on the environmental side, you know, before you end up like Mexico City where you can't see the trees. You have to strike a median in here where where everything can work.
Yeah, that's true. But when your president says you can start up a coal-fired power plant, but we're going to make the regulations so tight that you won't make it practical, that is not the environment talking. That is a policy.
True.
You know, so things like that, that even though, you know, he wanted to put in cap and trade, he couldn't do cap and trade through the Congress, so he's using the EPA to do it. So there are regulations that can be taken off of these industries that is not going to be harmful to the environment, but it's going to allow the economy to improve.
Yeah, you probably got a point there. Good stuff. All right.
Well, and this is what people who run for office and people who are in office. These are the problems that they have, because it all depends on what question is asked to a person.
True.
Like, for instance, okay, do you want clean water and clean air? Well, of course I do. Do you want good commerce? Yes, I do. Okay.
How are we going to work to achieve this?
We can't have both, so which one do you want?
That's not the way to do it. How are we going to achieve this where we can both be happy?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what we're not doing these days.
Lynn of Boise says schools in Boise do differential sorting of students. They go to different classrooms according to the student's ability. Okay.
Yeah. Boise, my daughter went to Boise High. I'm a big fan, even though it was 5 years ago. Big fan.
Kent of Boise says manufacturing can come back, but it will be automated, and the 1,000 jobs could be handled by 70 people that are trained to do a specific routine to keep the machines running. It is all rhetoric and sound bites.
I have a story on that we'll talk about on Monday. We're kind of looking down the road into the future,
yeah,
and what kinds of things are going to happen and where people are going to find jobs. It's going to be harder and harder in some industries, especially, to find jobs, because, like the guy says, we used to take 1,000, now it takes 75.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
It's like I said, every generation thinks the generation after them is lazy, and yet everything that's invented is invented to make life easier.
So we can be lazier.
I guess.
Yeah. Something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org. Or Sunday, stop by 2000 North El Dorado at 10:30 in the morning. See you Monday.